Hello, and welcome to Sobercast, where we provide AA speaker meetings and workshops in podcast format. We're an ad-free podcast, and if you enjoy listening, please help us be self-supporting by visiting Sobercast.com, look for the donate link, and drop a dollar or two into our virtual basket. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Have a great day.
Afternoon, everybody. My name is Chris, and I am an alcoholic. The topic today is sponsorship. That's a topic near and dear to my heart. When I first got sober, I remember that the big suggestion was you need to get a sponsor and you need to get one now, and I did that. Because I had a real serious willingness to get involved with this deal. Alcoholism was, alcohol was taking me out. And I had tried staying separated from alcohol on my own for a while. And I was really unsuccessful with it. And the progression was such that I was going down fast. And I really knew that I wasn't going to live much longer. So when the clouds of denial parted, as it does for us sometimes, and we can actually see just how much trouble we're in for a brief moment and try to do something about it, I went back to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I grabbed somebody that I thought had the most to offer. This individual spoke with authority. You know, every once in a while you'll hear somebody speak with authority, like they really knew. I put myself under his care and direction. Now, at this time in North Jersey, and I only probably my own county or my own township, sponsorship wasn't really coming out of the book Alcoholics Anonymous. In the book Alcoholics Anonymous, it basically lays out how to be a mentor and spiritual advisor. How to be an alcoholism spirituality expert for somebody, you know. And really what was going on in my area was not anything really fundamentally aligned with the recovery process in Alcoholics Anonymous. It was a lot of really good wisdom teaching, you know. We've all heard the great one-liners, you know, you can't forget them. Like, underneath every skirt's a slip, you know. I mean, you know, you're not going to forget that one very, but the thing is self-knowledge and wisdom is not protection against the next drink. So you can have heard every wisdom saying in the world, and that's still not a protection against the first drink. Now, some of the types of sponsorships I saw were like this. There was one guy who was like almost a cult figure, you know, and he had his sponsees, and he'd walk in and they'd all sit next to him, and after he shared, every one of their hands would go up like one right after the other. It was like, you know, the big duck and the little ducklings, you know. They were just like parroting everything he said, you know. It wasn't coming from experience. And then there was people who would get you to wax their car on Saturday, and I mean all this really weird stuff was going on, and I come from a place of desperation personally with alcoholism. I got to tell you, it was taking me out, and I was really trying to take this stuff seriously, so I was looking around. I was looking around for best practices, you know. I mean, there was so many different ways that people sponsored. There was the type of sponsor who gave you his card and you never heard from him again, you know, unless you bothered him all the time. There was just so many different ways that people were doing this. And it just didn't seem right to me. Now, I'll probably talk a little bit tonight about what happened with me, how I found recovery in the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'll talk about that tonight at more length. But basically, what happened was a friend of mine handed me a set of tapes. to listen to. He was one of these guys that, you know, went around and bought all the books and the tapes. He had the bumper stickers, you know, he had all that stuff. And he was an enthusiast. He was an Alcoholics Anonymous enthusiast. And what he did was he handed me these tapes. He didn't particularly care for them. You know, it was like 8 90-minute tapes. I'm thinking, this is an overreaction to some problem. But I go, okay, I've got a long ride to work, so I'll go ahead and I'll listen to them. And what they were, basically there's been a renaissance that's happened in Alcoholics Anonymous. And my own personal opinion is it was started in the very late 70s by a couple of guys from Arkansas. And what they were doing was they were having big book studies in the conventions. They'd just take a room and, you know, a couple of people showed up and then a couple more. And pretty soon they had to start moving to bigger rooms. And somebody taped, you know, thank God for tapers. Somebody taped a study that they did. And then at the next convention, the person made multiple copies and gave them away as table prizes at the banquet. And he did it strategically. He gave it to people from around the country that he knew that would pay attention to this stuff. And thus started the big book movement, getting back to the basics. It had kind of not been that prevalent until this time. At least that's my vision of it. Anyway, I started listening to these tapes, and it talked about a process of Alcoholics Anonymous that I had no clue about. And listen, I was going to 13 meetings a week. I was a secretary here, a treasurer there. I was making coffee till the grinds were coming out of my ears, you know, and I had never heard this stuff. It was basically the processes as it's outlined in our basic text, Alcoholics Anonymous. For some reason, the basic text had gone out of favor or something, at least in my area. And again, I'm only talking about my area. And you would hear all kinds of things in the rooms for advice, and this is what you should do, and you better try this. And it was all just people, you know, either making stuff up or, you know, their sponsor told them to do it. You know, my sponsor, Harvey Gerbil Feather, told me. And that would be fine if Harvey, you know, had some good recovery himself. But you never know. I mean, if this is just coming out of the air, you never know. So basically, listening to this, it got me involved in getting into the book. Now, here's the problem with alcoholism, and it's a very, very serious problem. If you are alcoholic, if you haven't gone through the steps, if you're new or just coming back, here's the problem: you are in way more trouble than you think you are. Whatever kind of trouble you think you're in, multiply it by 10 and you're going to be getting close. Because this is an illness of minimization. We minimize the devastation in our lives because it's just too ugly to look at. Alright? Now here's the problem with alcoholism. This is from page 24 of the Big Book. The fact is that most alcoholics, for reasons yet obscure, have lost the power of choice in drink. What I believe that means is it means we've lost the power of choice about whether we're going to put it in our bodies or how much we're going to drink once we start drinking. We only have two problems. One of them is before we get drunk and the other is after. You know, those are our two problems. Our so-called willpower becomes practically non-existent. We are unable at certain times to bring into our consciousness with sufficient force the memory of the suffering and humiliation of even a week or a month ago. We are without defense against the first drink. It goes on to say that we're beyond human aid. Beyond human aid is beyond human aid. Powerlessness is powerlessness. You know? As newcomers or as people coming back from a relapse, we can't even fathom, you know, powerlessness a lot of times. mean, if you're powerless, there's nothing you can do. So, as sponsors, I believe our primary objective, and Bill Wilson says this in some of his writings, is an adequate presentation of the steps to your prospect or the newcomer. Okay? That's your primary responsibility. And there's other places in here that basically says, do not let the new man become dependent on you. Now, this is a lot, I see this a lot in Alcoholics Anonymous. Sponsorship dependence. You know, home group dependence. All kinds of dependence. Recovery is about freedom. Recovery is about freedom. Now, as a sponsor, I need to pay attention to the chapter Working with Others very, very closely. It was spelled out in that chapter exactly what I really should be doing. And in that chapter, it talks about you're going to be more effective than anybody else helping the alcoholic, because you're going to be able to say to the alcoholic, I know how you feel. I've felt that way. I don't feel that way anymore. There is a solution. There's a way out upon which we can absolutely agree and join in brotherly and harmonious action. There really is. I don't say that to the newcomer. But it's true. There's a way out. And as a sponsor, I believe I need to be a vehicle or a guidepost or a tour guide or whatever to help that individual get to the power that can solve their problem. The power which is God. One of the other things that, you know, people forget about a lot of times is this is a divine help program. It's not a self-help program. It's a divine help program. We turn in all things to the Father of Light. Your connection with that power greater than yourselves and how you rightly relate yourself to that power greater than yourself is what's going to place you in the sunlight of the Spirit, the spiritual atmosphere where God can remove the obsession to drink and allow you to become usefully whole. There's a great line in the 12 and 12. It's in the first step. It says, who among us wishes to admit complete defeat? Glass in hand, we've warped our minds to such a state that only an act of divine providence can relieve us of this obsession. Divine providence, that's the only thing that can relieve us of this obsession. So as a sponsor, I need to understand how the process of Alcoholics Anonymous leads one to a personal relationship with God and an ability to rightly relate themselves through the spiritual disciplines to that God. And it basically lays out in the 12th, the chapter Working with Others, that you've had this experience so you can transmit this. In other words, you've had the spiritual awakening as the result of the 12 steps. So you can now transmit that material to the newcomer, that experience to the newcomer, because it's experiential. So many things in Alcoholics Anonymous are misunderstood because we intellectually figure them out. So much of Alcoholics Anonymous can only be learned experientially. You know, if you haven't done one of these steps, you're really not going to have a true perspective of what it's all about. So early on, I'm running around the North Jersey area. I've got a sponsor who was a great wisdom teacher, probably never opened up the book Alcoholics Anonymous, and he could give really good share in the 12 and 12 meetings. And, you know, you just couldn't wait for him to share because he'd say something really good. But I was an alcoholic. I was in real trouble. I was one of the low bottom type of alcoholics that needs to be detoxed and relapses time after time and hallucinates and Jekyll and Hyde, incredibly violent, you know, coming to in jail, wondering why I'm there. I mean, you know, I was in real trouble. And going to all of these meetings didn't seem to offer me anything except very tentative sobriety. I was hanging on by my fingertips. Just hanging on. Trying to stay sober one day at a time. You know what I mean? And I get a hold of these tapes. And these tapes lay out in a very, they lay out the mechanics of recovery. You know, it's not a mechanical program, it's a spiritual program. But the mechanics are important. How you actually take these steps and your behavior and your willingness in these steps is laid out pretty stringently in the book. So I was really suffering. I had gone through a breakup. I had met, you know, Mrs. Wonderful, you know, with like I'm a year sober. She's like 8 months sober. You know, who would have thought that would have blown up like the Hindenburg, you know? But it did. And you know, I was devastated. And you know, a number of things happened, you know, employment problems, you know, and I was in the barrel in a big way. And I knew I was coming to a series of choices. And these were what the choices were. Put a bullet through my head, get drunk, or somehow find some way out of this emotional pain. I mean, alcoholics feel emotional pain like nobody else. And I had listened to these tapes that this guy gave me, and you know, that's not how we do it in New Jersey, was my first reaction. You know, that's all well and good, you know, maybe they do that like that in Arkansas, but you know, we've got a different, you know, kind of. And well, I was in so much pain that I went back to those tapes, and you know, I started to go through those tapes. And what happened for me was that emotional, spiritual pain that I was in, just never feeling comfortable with myself or my environment, you know, being resentful or depressed or anxious. You know, I had this self-centered fear that was like crippling. I was afraid to go to the grocery store, you know? I mean, I just had no dealage at all for anything. And I started to take these steps very, very, you know, I did the best I could at that period of time. I mean, I had a real willingness, but I was doing this on my own, listening to a set of tapes. But I did enough of I took enough of the spiritual action to start to heal. And I started to feel better. And I started to recover from alcoholism after I was going through these steps. And, you know, it's very difficult to describe this experience, but if you've had it, if you've had a spiritual awakening as the result of taking the 12 steps, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, you don't. You know, it's just one of those things. But I started to feel better about myself, and I was sponsoring. I was sponsoring by this time, and I had a bunch of sponsees because, like my sponsor, I learned how to give good share. And, you know, how to sound really good. And so I had all these guys, and they were drinking on me, you know? You ever have anybody drink on you if you're sponsoring them? Makes you look bad, you know? And, is Harry yours, you know? Do you know he's drinking? He's hitting on the newcomer women. And yeah, Harry's mine. I'll talk to him. So they're making me look bad. And, you gotta understand, I really don't know what I'm doing. I'm actually doing the right things, maybe not for the right reason, but I'm doing the right things, so the right things are happening to me. Motivation almost doesn't matter, when you take these exercises. If you take these spiritual exercises, you get the results. And so I started bringing people over to my house, and I started taking them through the steps. We opened the big book to the title page, and we started to move through. And when there was an instruction, we stopped. We did that instruction. I was actually doing it with them back then. I don't go through the steps every single time I sponsor anymore, but I was back then. And some remarkable things were happening. I'll tell you what. One of them was, you know, I was healing. But the other one was the people who were going through the steps with me at my house, every single one of them that made it through the steps is still sober. Every single one of them. This is back in the early 90s. They're all still card-carrying members in Alcoholics Anonymous, in good standing, working with other people, and their quality of life is out the roof. They've done amazing things in their life. Their lives are amazing. The people who didn't make it through the steps, every one of them is gone. I don't know if they all drank. Probably most of them did, but they're not around anymore. That's a significant lesson for me. Like, if you're alcoholic, it's a progressively fatal illness. Over any considerable period of time, it always gets worse. It never gets better. And a lot of the things that you think are going to help you won't. But the spiritual answer, the 12 steps, will. Now, if you're dying from alcoholism, like I was, that's an important lesson to learn. People can become recovered. The term in the book Alcoholics Anonymous, the goal in the book Alcoholics Anonymous is a state called recovered. It's used 16 times in this book. Recovery is used maybe recovering is used maybe once. Recovered is the goal in AA, to be recovered from alcoholism. Now, recovered is not cured. The difference would be if you have an illness and the illness is cured, the illness is gone. If you've recovered from the illness, the symptoms of the illness are gone. The best I can do is have all the symptomology of alcoholism removed, and it has been. I still have the body of an alcoholic. If I went out to the bar right now and had a drink, there's one thing I could guarantee you, I'd have a second one. And after the second one, there's one thing I could guarantee you, I'd have a third, you know. And I would end up knee walking, tongue chewing, not able to operate my own pants zipper drunk. Because that's what happened every time. So I know I have a body of an alcoholic, but the problem really is in our mind, the mental obsession. Now, as a sponsor, what I have to do is I have to use the chapter Working with Others very, very diligently. In there, it basically says if someone doesn't want to work with you, if someone doesn't want to go through the steps, you need to drop them. Because after a while, he may become convinced he can't recover on his own and he'll come back and he'll be willing to do it. That's not how we were doing it in New Jersey. You know, we were begging you to stay. Please just stay. You don't have to do anything. There are no rules. It's a cafeteria. You know, take what you want, leave the rest, you know. And that's what we're, because we didn't want anybody to leave. Well, the book basically says if they're not willing to work with you, you're wasting your time, and even worse, they're wasting their time. They ought to get about the business of becoming willing to recover from alcoholism. And it basically says, you know, do a 12-step call. The classic 12-step call is basically telling somebody your story and throwing it out like bait, you know, like, yeah, I was just like, I did that. You know, and then hook them. Like, if they're really suffering, they're going to go, well, what did you do? And you're supposed to tell them you went through the 12 steps. That's really what this chapter tells you to do. Now, to be able to do that, sometimes you need to have gone through the 12 steps. You know? I don't think you can tell somebody you're experiencing something you never did. So it's incumbent upon us, certainly as sponsors, to get through this work. If you haven't made your amends, it's important to make your amends. It's important to how you carry the message to other people. If you haven't done a fifth step or a fourth step, it's very, very important to do that if you're going to be sponsoring other people, because if you haven't done it, you're going to probably think you don't need to do it. And you could be killing people, because I'll tell you what, I would have lasted maybe another month without addressing the 12 steps. I would have maybe made it another month. I was at a point where I just couldn't tolerate sobriety anymore. Sobriety to me was untenable. You know, I didn't have a drinking problem. I had a sobriety problem. You know, every single time I got drunk, I did it sober. You know what I mean? I mean, that's the problem. I couldn't stay sober for any period of time because it was untenable. And what would happen is the crazy thought, that strange mental blank spot or that subtle form of insanity would occur to me that, you know, maybe I should put a drink and, you know, maybe I should have a drink. And I'd be off to the races again. So the way I sponsor today is, I'm non-dictatorial. I'm not a dictator sponsor. I basically lay out the kit of spiritual tools in front of the person. I tell them, this is what I did. This is what you need to do. I believe this is what you need to do. If you're an alcoholic, you need to do this stuff to get to a place, called recovery. If you don't do this, I can't guarantee anything. God bless you. You know, everything may be fine. But if you do this stuff, I can pretty much guarantee that you get to a place called recovery. Now, I'll get them over to my house. If they're completely insane and very untrustworthy, you know, every once in a while you get somebody like that. I'll meet somewhere in a public place to start taking them through the steps. But I'll do basically what the book says. Explain to them how much trouble you were in. Explain to them how, I'll actually read this because, it's a very, very important paragraph. Let me find this. I believe this is on page 94. Outline the program of action. The 12 steps. This is how you're supposed to handle your prospect or your protege or the newcomer. Explaining how you made a self-appraisal. That's the fourth step. How you straightened out your past. That would be the ninth step. And why you are now endeavoring to be helpful to him. It is important for him to realize that your attempt to pass this on to him plays a vital part in your own recovery. Your candidate may give reasons why he need not follow all of the program. He may rebel at the thought of a drastic house cleaning, which requires discussion with other people. You know, I was taught a long time ago, don't admit to anything, even if they have you on video. You know, this is a shift in perception to people. Do not contradict him, such views. Tell him what you once felt as he does, but you doubt whether you would have made much progress had you not taken action. On your first visit, tell him about the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. If he shows interest, lend him a copy of this book. If he's not interested in your solution, the 12-step solution, if he expects you to only act as a banker for his financial difficulties or a nurse for his sprees or a drama coach, you know, you ever have somebody who wants you to be their drama coach? Oh, you wouldn't believe what happened to me today. Oh! God. If that's what he wants, you may have to drop him until he changes his mind. This he may do after he gets hurt some more. If he is sincerely interested and wants to see you again, ask him to read this book in the interval. After doing that, he must decide for himself whether he wants to go on. He should not be pushed or prodded by you, his wife, or his friends. If he is to find God, the desire must come from within. If he thinks he can do the job in some other way or prefers some other spiritual approach, encourage him to follow his own conscience. We have no monopoly on God. We merely have an approach that worked with us. This is the approach that worked with the early AAs. But point out that we alcoholics have much in common. Do not be discouraged if your prospect does not respond at once. Search out another alcoholic and try again. This is something that I believe is a huge problem in Alcoholics Anonymous today. The 12-step goal. Anybody that's been around long enough, you know, 20, 30, 40 years, will remember the 12-step call. You get a call and you go out and you visit somebody who's calling for help. There's so many people that don't have experience with this wet drunk work. these 12-step goals. In the 60s, 70s, and 80s, treatment centers popped up all over the place. You couldn't shake a stick without hitting a treatment center or a detox. And they pretty much got a lot of the stuff that we were doing. However, because of insurance and all kinds of problems that are happening in the treatment field, I think there's a real serious need for us to gear up and be ready to get back out there and do these 12-step calls like they did in the early days. They're very, very important. And this pretty much tells you how to do that. Nothing will so much ensure immunity from drink as intensive work with other alcoholics. I know that from my own experience. I know that I really started to experience the spiritual dimensions of Alcoholics Anonymous, rocketed into the fourth dimension of reality. I started to experience that when I started to work with other alcoholics. It's vital. It's absolutely vital. And if you're down the scale, if you're an alcoholic that's gone down the scale and you're in real trouble, it's also essential. Learning to be a sponsor is really learning to be a guide. Getting your own experience and then being available to share that experience and have somebody else gain that same personal experience that you had. That's all I have. I want to bring my buddy Peter up. Come on up, Peter.
My name is Peter. I'm a recovered alcoholic. Grateful to be alive and sober and a member of a sacred place called Alcoholics Anonymous, and thank my friend Chris for a good talk on sponsorship. God separated me from alcohol June 23rd, 1988. I'm a recovered alcoholic. And I say that because I am. If I didn't, I'd be falsely humble. Loving God separated me from alcohol, and like Chris said, when we first get separated from alcohol, here's alcoholism looking right at us. The untreated alcoholism. And because I'm separated from a drink doesn't mean I'm better. You sober up a drunken horse thief, you have a sober horse thief. And what I found out quickly was my first 6 months in Alcoholics Anonymous, making meetings, taking lots of coffee commitments, doing a lot of sharing about what I don't know. They thought a lunacy commission should be appointed for me. I had 20 minutes sober. I was telling people how to meditate. I don't know what I was doing. Trying to sound good all the time. Ego runs the show. We're separated from alcohol. Doesn't mean we're getting better. And I ran into some really neat people along the way. Good-hearted people. Perhaps not real alcoholics. And bless them. But they would say, come to a meeting with me. Let's make lots of meetings together. Let's go to the diner afterwards. Let's chat after the meeting. It was all good. It was fellowship. It wasn't sponsorship. And it was a band-aid on an open wound when I got here. But there came a point. It was actually December 22nd, 1988. I was almost 6 months to the day sober. And alcoholism was all over me. And I had not taken a drink. But God, I wanted to drink. And the only thing that stopped me from drinking, because I can never stop, had no control over the stopping or the starting, because I'm a real alcoholic, I'm the guy on page 21, was somehow I turned and looked up and said, please take me from this again. And I was driving a car, and I got to this guy's house. I was living in Minnesota at the time. And he asked me a question. He was one of my first appointed teachers. And I like the word teacher rather than sponsor, because the word sponsor in Alcoholics Anonymous has gotten mangled. Right? Poor sponsorship in Alcoholics Anonymous. We think that sponsorship is someone who gives me that number and calls me when I'm in drama. And if I'm untreated, that's a lot of phone calls. Right? Sponsor is a teacher to show me how to get from point A to point B, which is recovered. And I showed up to this guy's house, and I gave him my drama. Now, I talk a lot about drama. We need something to make us feel like we're alive. A sense of self. Just drama. And drama could be, let's gossip about you. Hey, and it starts with, have you seen Joe around? No. Well, I heard this. And now we talk, and it's a self-searching for superiority. Let's talk about someone, and I feel alive inside. If I can't do that, I'll just have something going on all the time. And if I don't have my own drama, I'll get involved in your drama. Now I'm part of your drama. Now you and I can talk about each other's drama, and if we don't have drama, we're going to invent some. Right? So, and you know how it is when the newcomer calls you up and says, all you do is say, hi, and 2 hours later, they're still going. Cook lunch, pick up the phone, and then, right? So, I get to this guy Joe's house, and I start to give him my drama, and he waited for me to come up prayer, and then he stopped me and he says, Peter, where are you with God and the 12 steps? I was puzzled. What I wanted was, let's go to a meeting, give me a hug, it's going to be okay. Read acceptance on page 449 and call me in the morning. What he did instead was ask me that question. I didn't know how to answer him. I said, well, Joe, when do you start the steps? And he says, when you stop throwing up, you're late. Now, that disturbed me. And in our big book, it says, perhaps we've disturbed him on the question of alcoholism. He disturbed me. He was a man whose deportment shouted he had an answer. I saw how he was in meetings. I saw how he was outside of meetings. And I saw how he lived. And he had a solution. He was armed with the facts. He was not a fellowship guy. And lots of times the motive behind sponsorship is get the prospect to a meeting and drop him off. Got him to a meeting. Well, that's just the first part of it. We haven't done anything. Anyone can bring anyone to an AA meeting. In working with others, it uses the words intensive work with other alcoholics will also ensure me from drinking again. Intensive work. Getting a prospect to a meeting is not sponsorship. And then taking him to the next meeting is not sponsorship. I'm giving him a ride to a place that may save his life. As a sponsor, what my job is to do is, yeah, get him to meetings, but I don't need to get the prospect to do 90 meetings in 90 days. It's not even in the big book. That's not sponsorship. That's two people who probably don't have much of a life. Is this on? See, when we talk about sponsorship, trust me, my intent is not to get anyone upset with me. I'm an alcoholic. I want everyone to love me. But when we talk about sponsorship, we ruffle feathers because it's a gut check for everyone. Even when I sit down with my sponsor, my teacher, and he questions me on how I'm sponsoring, it rattles the cage. Sponsorship in Alcoholics Anonymous looks nothing like it's supposed to look. Intensive work with other alcoholics. Getting a guy or a woman to a meeting is not much. You put them in a car and shuffle them off. There's the meeting. There's coffee. There's Joe, the chairperson. Sit down. Now the meeting ends. He goes home with his alcoholism. What am I doing as a teacher? And instead of getting to someone 90 meetings in 90 days or 7 meetings in 7 days, stay home 2 nights a week and work them through the steps. Stay home 3 nights a week, work them through the steps. Because in about a month's time, they're going to be taking someone else to a meeting and taking them through the steps. Immediately, timely fashion, get them into the work. I'm very grateful for the folks who met me at the door. I came home when I was in Minnesota, left treatment, walked into a meeting called the Three Legacies meeting and a bunch of other meetings. They were at the door. They were greeting me. That was wonderful. They greeted me. I didn't get past them. They greeted me at the door. Another thing we don't see in Alcoholics Anonymous now. We see it at conferences like this. By the way, this has been absolutely wonderful. Thank you. This is a treat. People at the doors, people with name tags, the newcomer is spotted. They're not getting too far without a welcome. How are you? That's part of it. It's a good deal. But we need to get them, me as a sponsor, needs to now get them into recovery. And I'm grateful for those people who met me at the door. And when I came home from Minnesota, I was brought to a group over in Brooklyn called the Free Spirit Group. And they had, some of them had that same sort of meeting etiquette, that they look for the new people at the door. They weren't talking about Monday Night Football. They weren't talking about womanizing. They weren't talking about AA outings. They weren't talking about some of the things that you would hear in Alcoholics Anonymous. Gambling, womanizing, just things I don't want to mention from this podium. This is an AA meeting. It's a sacred ground, and they forgot that. But there was a small group of men there who were working the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And those were the guys who were at the door. And those are the guys who are saying, when are you going to start the steps? Who's your sponsor? Because they knew their recovery, part of it, was dependent upon intensely working with another alcoholic, and it wasn't fellowship stuff. You can make a meeting on your own. I'm going to teach you. They did to me what I do with others now. I don't go up to someone ever and say, you're a newcomer, great, I'm your sponsor. I'll offer them a number. I'll talk to them. But they need to ask me to sponsor them because I need spiritual consent from the new person. It's a verbal agreement. I'm your sponsor. I'm lovingly going to confront you on some of your isms. And you could say, I didn't ask you. Go away. But you ask me, can you help me? Can you sponsor me? That's spiritual consent. And now we begin a process getting to recovered. Is my goal abstinence? Or is my goal getting recovered? Is my recovery based in abstinence? Or is my recovery based in spirit? If I'm a moderate drinker or a hard drinker, I can fellowship this whole deal and go to lots of meetings, show up at lots of conferences, do a lot of AA sober softball and bowling and picnics. It's all neat. And that's all I need is a little camaraderie, a little pat on the back, and I go home, no big book, no steps, and I'm sober. And I get to the podium and say, and I'm sober 300 years. How did I do it? I just don't drink and go to meetings. That sounds really impressive. But Bill in the back of the room is a real alcoholic like I am and dies on information like that. So who's my sponsor? Could be the greatest guy in the world, but who's my sponsor? Does he suffer from the same malady I do? Does he have the phenomenon called craving? Does she have the phenomenon called craving? Does he or she have the mental obsession? Most of us who walk around with spiritual malady, half the planet has a spiritual malady. Watch CNN News, you know that in a minute. But I have a spiritual malady, mental obsession, phenomenon called craving, and my teacher, my sponsor, needs to have the same problem as I do. Because chances are it got so bad for him that they had to submit to the work in the book. Now, I will tell you, it's a little frustrating for me being a recovered member in this glorious fellowship of having the book put on the shelf and not talked about and regarded as controversial and radical when we talk about our basic text, which is really holding most of us together. It's the program within the fellowship, and somehow it's in the back of the room, and don't bring it into my room, and you don't need that to sponsor someone. Just take them around. It contradicts Alcoholics Anonymous. It contradicts Alcoholics Anonymous. It contradicts Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm grateful for the teachers that were put in my path that were not afraid to level me and give me the truth. And when they gave me spiritual exercises to do, it's because they had experience with it. They didn't give me an opinion without experience, as I do with men today. And any time I start to lean a little bit in the opinion area, my sponsor's all over that. We talk about sharing our experience, strength, and hope. Not some of my opinions, my strength and hope. My opinion's not going to help anyone. That's usually based on belief systems and misinformation anyway. In the third edition, the third editions, they had the blue cover. And on the little paper blue cover, it said, but the basic text, pages 1 to 164, have remained unchanged. This is the A message that was brought to us in 1939, et cetera, et cetera. The basic text, pages 1 to 164, have remained unchanged. The reason why it has remained unchanged is because it's a set of spiritual laws that work. What message am I passing on that don't work? My opinion? My fellowshipping? Taking them just to meetings? What am I doing as a sponsor? I've been sponsoring men for many, many years. And I still haven't gotten to a place where I tell me, I got this down to a science. I know exactly how to sponsor people. I'm a good sponsor. 21 years sober, sponsoring I don't know how many men over 21 years, and I still feel inadequate, insecure when it comes to sponsoring men. I'll tell you why. Because my goal is to help get them well, and I want to do good with this. And I see how some of my teachers have taught. How could I not feel humbled in sitting down with someone and giving it my best and never getting too big? You know why? It's all God. God is wrapped around that. And that force feeding of humility, even when I sit and teach someone, is all God. Can I help, experientially, can I help someone identify the problem that they have? Oh, we all know Joe drinks a lot, but Joe could be a hard drinker. We all know Joe drinks a lot. Joe may be a moderate drinker. And because he can drink a whole lot, we know people who are hard drinkers can drink some of us alkies under the table. They just got a great tolerance for drinking. Doesn't mean they're alcoholic. And getting 3 or 4 DWIs, maybe they're alcoholic. But because they got 3 or 4 DWIs doesn't mean they're alcoholic. In fact, if they wind up in detox, doesn't mean they're alcoholic. God knows why they wind up in detox. But can I help that prospect identify the problem? They may come to me and say, I'm in AA. I need to stop drinking. I've been trying forever. What's wrong with me? My whole family drinks safely. All I know is I can't stop once I start. Can I take them through the first 23 pages of the book and help them get real clear on exactly what they suffer from? And once that's done, show them the solution to the problem. See, lots of times in our meetings, in some of our contemporary meetings, we all talk about the problems. It's a body meeting. I didn't drink today, I'm a winner. I'm feeling good. I'm doing great things. Hey Joe, you look great. How long has it been since your last drink? 30 days. Keep it up. Keep going. Body stuff. Joe has no idea why he's not drinking, other than he's making some meetings. No human power can relieve us of our alcoholism. Meetings are a group of human powers. And at the beginning it might work, but it's not going to last long. Speak to any relapser. I'm one of them. So can I help that guy as a sponsor? Identify the problem, get really clear on what ails them. Phenomenon called craving. Oh, that's me. Mental obsession, that's why I keep going back to that which is killing me. And I have this spiritual malady. Yeah, I've been fear-based and insecure since day one. My perceptions of situations are always wrong. I'm self-serving, self-indulgent, self-seeking, self-centered, even when I'm gracious to you. Can I help them see that? Okay, got that. What's the solution? God. Not the meetings. My information comes from my big book. It's not worshiping the methodology. It's God and nothing less than that great fact. Can I show the newcomer or the person I'm sponsoring, perhaps with double digits, how to get to experience God? Not even talk about God, not have an opinion about God, but get them to experience oneness with this power. As a sponsor, I better be able to do that because that's the only solution to what ails me. I'm not like other people, drunk or sober. They need to know that. Can I get them to step two and show them step two in the big book that there's this power that's going to restore them to wholeness of mind? I tell folks, this will ruffle lots of feathers at some meetings. I tell them, I can guarantee you, this is out of our book. I'm going to paraphrase it. I can guarantee you, Joe, that if you follow the directions in the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous, you'll never drink again. Dr. Bob said, quit drinking for good and all. Big book says, stopping all together, that's forever. Not on my power, not on the group's power, but on God's power. When I tell them, hey, your last drink is done, you never have to drink again. They give you that newcomer look like, but I want one more. I'll find a new sponsor. I'm in a treatment center industry. And I was quitting this business a while ago. I'm in this business because I'm fed up with what's going on in treatment centers. But I have some clients in front of me who've been in and out of AA, in and out of a jillion treatment centers. And I'm sitting down talking with these guys one-on-one about some things that I've learned and experienced. And some of them go, I never heard that before. show a guy doctor's opinion. I never saw that before. Why? Why? Where's sponsorship? That's what sponsors do. Find a teacher who's awake and be the perfect student. Don't depend on the teacher to be perfect. You be perfect with the beginner's mind. Taking the step three, am I kneeling down and holding hands or praying and doing a third step prayer together? Am I showing them what the third step prayer is all about and taking them through a four column inventory and sitting with them and listening to their fifth step? Not over the phone, not over a cup of coffee, sitting down, intensive work with another alcoholic, because what I'm doing is God has sent that man or woman to me as an instrument for him to help save this person's life. There's a tremendous responsibility sponsoring people. It isn't, hey, let's go to a meeting. It's great that we go to meetings. My home group is a Vision for You group. I sponsor about 7-8 men in this group. A couple of them came to me completely broken like I showed up. And a couple of months ago, I'm sitting down. I get to my home group. My group starts at 7:30, goes to 8:45. I'm there Thursday night at 6 o'clock. And I'm working with one, two, or three men. And I was working with a couple of guys at the table at 6 o'clock. In comes the posse. They're recovered. You know, collars are pressed, nice jacket. They don't come to AA meetings looking like they're going to go commit a felony. They taught meeting etiquette. You know, they walked in. They showed up with ripped clothes. They were a mess. And they walked in. They not only look like sober, recovered members of AA, but the way they walked, big book under their arm, they were talking about doing activities with their families now. They're back in their family. The light in the eyes was on. And I sat there like the proud parent. You know, my son's graduating. And I was overwhelmed. I got weepy. Because I saw God's handiwork. And God said, Pete, take those guys and show them what I've given you. And I just unload everything, feeling really like I hope I'm doing a good job, just unloading everything I got. I'm usually exhausted, right, when I'm done with the guy. And there it was. And you know why they were walking in early? Because I was working with other guys? Because they had prospects they were sitting down to work with. I'm living in Texas the past month. I'll be down there for a few months with this treatment center. And I get the calls from home from the guys I sponsor and some other group members. Almost all of the men that I sponsor who are in steps 10, 11, and 12 are showing up at a Vision for You group at 6 o'clock now with two and three people at a table. It's like all these people showing up at home group working with others. That's contagious. The way bad habits are contagious. Spiritual living is contagious. What are they doing? What's that group about? Why are they always with that big book? And you attract people, attraction, not promotion. This is what sponsorship does. I've had wonderful, wonderful teachers in Alcoholics Anonymous. My greatest spiritual teachers have been members of AA. Teachers who, armed with the facts in this book, showed me the importance of prayer and meditation. Most of our contemporary AA meetings, if you ask your sponsor or bring it up as a topic, let's talk about meditation, you don't hear anything. Where are our sponsors to teach the prospect on meditation? Guess what? If they don't know, it's because their sponsor never taught them. How's your lineage? Where's your lineage? Check your sponsorship lineage. What's that look like? I've been blessed with great teachers. But I've also found, Chris and I were talking about this yesterday, I must make my sponsors sick or something. I don't know what goes on. But I've had this happen to me also, and it was a tremendous lesson for me about the importance of growing and understanding and effectiveness. Am I gathering up information just for me so I can throw out sound bites at a meeting? Am I gathering up information to have an experience, an internal reorganization, a shift in consciousness deep down in here so I get reborn? I'm further awakened. Then I can give it all to the new person. Growing and understanding effectiveness. I've had sponsors who stopped doing the things they were doing to get them where they were when God put me in their life and them in my life. And you know what happened? With double digits, they started to sound different. They started to behave different. Inner condition gets manifested out there everything was changing. They weren't talking about inventory at night. They weren't talking about prayer and meditation. Or they were giving it some lip service. You know, anger was starting to show up. Contempt, pride, investigation. We can outgrow our sponsors. And if you're outgrowing your sponsor, you try to throw a life raft and pull them back in just out of sense of loyalty and gratitude. Hey, you're my teacher. What's going on with you? We can do that. But some don't listen. It's happened to me. And we need to find new teachers. And last, because we're out of time here, if you don't know who to ask for a sponsor, something that has worked for me over the years, ask your Heavenly Father, Father, please show me a teacher. He will not deny you a teacher to take you to Him. They're probably out there right now, maybe in this room. Just go to God. Turn all things to God. Father, I need a teacher. I need a new teacher. He'll connect the dots. And then we can get free of alcoholism. Get off spiritual wings and go. Not to be hanging around, worried about my issues, my triggers, my drama. None of that. It's all removed. Spiritual wings, go fly. Go work with others. That's all I got. Thanks.
Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Sobercast is ad-free, and we'd like your help in order to keep it that way. So if you'd like to help us be self-supporting by pledging $1 or $2 a month, visit Sobercast.com and look for the donate links. Thank you very much.